Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, Alicia Malone with Scott Movie Mance and the Schmoes Know. This is Profile. In-depth spotlights on the greatest filmmakers and artists in motion picture history.
Hello, Profilers.
Welcome to a very special episode of Profiles. We lost one of the greats, a true visionary filmmaker, a master of horror, really did change the game repeatedly for the genre.
Yes.
The one and only Wes Craven.
So we wanted to do something to honor him. This is a little mini episode of Profiles, and I'm sure down the track we'll do a proper full-length episode of Profiles. But of course, it takes a lot of time for us to put together a show. So we just wanted to do something quickly now to say goodbye to him, because he was someone who redefined the horror genre, as you said, multiple times throughout three decades. He sadly passed away age 76 after a battle with brain cancer, and he is responsible for me, and I'm sure many people out there, some of my most terrifying moments of childhood.
And definitely, like we've talked about repeatedly, I remember when I saw like The Hills Have Eyes, I was disturbed by that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw that a little later, seeing Nightmare on Elm Street in 84. I mean, the villain in that movie was scarier at the time anyway than Michael Myers and Freddy.
Yeah.
Or Jason, rather.
Yeah.
And then of course Scream was such a cool movie,
mm-hmm.
but it was also very, very scary. And he branched out from there, you know, when he did Music from the Heart with Meryl Streep in 99.
Yeah.
That was like Wes Craven directed that movie.
I know.
And then Red Eye, which was just a straightforward thriller and a very, very good one when that came out in 2005. But when I was working on this show, I was on Twitter and I went to his Twitter page and it said, Wes Craven says, follows you.
Oh.
So out of like 2,000 people, somewhere along the line, he started following me on Twitter.
Amazing.
I never knew that till today.
No.
Oh, but
well, it's a really sad time to say goodbye to him, but his work will live on in the movies. And he created not only some great horror characters like Freddy Krueger, like Ghostface, but also some really terrifying moments, some moments that will stick with you. I remember in Scream, in the opening sequence, that moment where she's running away, she's running towards her house, her parents are home,
yep.
Slow motion, you think maybe she has a shot, maybe she has a chance. She's going towards the safety of her house in suburbia, the safety of her family, and right there without their knowledge, like right so close,
they're so
she
close.
Gets killed. And that moment, I remember I cried when I saw that moment. It really stuck with me.
Well, you're like the Australian Drew Barrymore. That might have something to do with it.
But
remember watching that scene, you know, her parents were right there.
Yeah.
And they didn't see her or hear her, except on the phone. They're like, baby, baby. And she's like, help me.
It's so sad.
But back in 84, when I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, that first movie was genuinely terrifying. And it was also very surreal because of the dream landscape in which Freddy Krueger like operated in.
Yeah.
And just the moments like when the hand reached out and grabbed Johnny Depp and pulled him into the bed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was dark. You really didn't get a good look at Freddy. And that was one of the things that just made that movie so scary. Wes Craven was born on August 2nd, 1939, as Wesley Earl Wes Craven. And he directed 22 feature films. Four of them were Scream movies. He directed all of the movies. And he believed that horror films didn't create fear. They released fear. And he was quoted as saying, horror movies have to show us something that hasn't been shown before, so the audience is completely taken aback. That's something he did many times. And in addition to having great, like, villains,
mm-hmm.
great characters, he had strong female characters.
Yes, he was always a champion for women in film. I know Rose McGowan did a nice tribute to him the other day on her Instagram. It's interesting that he started off as a humanities professor, and then he left that to work in post-production and also worked on porn.
He worked in the porn industry.
Under a pseudonym before completely recreating the horror genre over and over again, you know, starting with Last House on the Left, which was an exploitation film in the 70s.
1972. Nev Campbell, who played Sydney in all four Scream movies, after the passing of Wes Craven, she said, I will forever be grateful for his brilliant direction, his wicked sense of humor, and his consummate kindness and friendship. Thank you, Wes.
He was such a nice guy, too. I don't know if, whether you ever interviewed him.
Many years ago.
Yeah, very softly spoken, very intelligent guy. What was your first blood?
My first blood was Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, I was 15 years old and, you know, was in high school, and it was at the time when the Halloween movies were, sequels were coming out and were not scary anymore. And the Jason movies, the Friday the 13th, same thing. Those movies just were not scary anymore. This was different. Mm-hmm. This was scary. It was dark. And just, you know, that one scene where his arm just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. Ugh. And again, you didn't get a good look at him. And it wasn't until later that the Nightmare movies got a little cheesy and corny. I mean, even when he did a send-up of those movies with New Nightmare, which was, as our friend Dan just tweeted, mm-hmm. from Screen Junkies, it was Scream before Scream was Scream.
Yep.
And the way it set up the genre. Yeah, 2 years before Scream. But that movie, I just remember it was a movie that I saw with all my friends, and we're all, I didn't sleep for days. What was your appropriately titled First Blood?
Also Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yep.
Watched it at a sleepover with a bunch of friends, and I was, you know, one of those kids that would stay up all night at a sleepover. Many of my friends would try to stay up all night. Remember when it was like so hard to stay up all night? You'd get to midnight, be like, come on, we can do this.
Yeah.
I definitely did not sleep after seeing Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, I shouldn't watch horror films when I was young because they always terrified me.
And they still do.
Even more than regular people. And I told this story on my Malone's Movie Minutes podcast that I had a waterbed at the time. It was just that, you know, when my mom moved in with my stepdad, they had a spare waterbed. They put it in that room, the room that I ended up sleeping in. So that moment, the waterbed moment, really scared me.
You're like, great.
I think I slept on the floor for a few nights after that because I didn't want to wake up underneath the waterbed like that. It just, his movies were so visceral and so terrifying. And I asked people on Twitter to share their favorite Wes Craven movies. Eamon Rafferty says Scream and Nightmare on Elm Street were my back-to-back first blood.
Wow.
Imagine those two back-to-back. Jamie Habit says his first Scream movie is my favorite. I haven't seen the first Elm Street in a while, but I have the DVD, so I will rewatch it.
Please do.
And Girthix on Twitter says absolutely love horror films. The Hills Have Eyes is my favorite Wes Craven movie. And as you mentioned, Dan Morrell from Screen Junkies said New Nightmare was Scream before Scream was Scream, a great deconstruction of the franchise. Isaiah Belcher says Wes Craven revolutionized horror in three decades with The Hills Have Eyes, Last House on the Left in the 70s, 80s with Nightmare, and 90s with Scream.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, how many filmmakers in general can say that they redefine any genre multiple times, let alone the way Wes Craven redefined the horror genre? Mm-hmm. But like I said, we're going to do a proper profiles on Wes Craven down the line. This is just a special tribute. So instead of doing a fast five, we're going to do our countdown. We're calling it the Scream 3. So coming in at number 3 on our Scream 3 is...
Red Eye,
which is not a scary movie, but it is a suspenseful one. It was released on August 19, 2005, cost $26 million to make, box office was $96 million worldwide. This is a fun movie. Mm-hmm. It is suspenseful, it is thrilling, and it's kind of short. It's barely over 90 minutes long, but you know, this was a film where Wes Craven stepped out of his comfort zone a little, or maybe a lot, and had great results because it was an excellent film, one that Rolling Stone's Peter Travers said was gripping suspense that will ping you to your seat, and the New York Times, the tough New York Times, called it a nifty, tense, intense thriller.
It is nifty. It is tense. It's one of those edge-of-your-seat thrillers. Not a moment is wasted. Not a shot is wasted. He didn't write this film, but he directed it with such style, showing all his experience, particularly all his horror movie experience, because even though it's not technically horror, it does have those horror, that feel to it.
Definitely.
And it is terrifying at moments, has that thriller moments. Cillian Murphy is so
excellent.
Scary,
yeah, he's
and excellent. Rachel McAdams.
Strong female character.
It feels really quick. It's 85 minutes. Yeah, feels fast. And Roger Ebert says, after a summer of crashes, bangs, endless chase scenes and special effects that belittle the actors standing in front of them, what a pleasure to see characters in a thriller doing what people like themselves possibly could do.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
That's so appropriate. Way to go, Roger Ebert. And just moving on our Scream 3, coming in at number 2 is...
I like scary movies, Sydney.
I like that thing you're doing with your voice, Randy. It's sexy.
Scream. And this is actually my favorite Wes Craven movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, released on December 20th, 1996. Cost $15 million to make. Box office was $173 million worldwide. This was a big hit. In fact, it was such a big hit that it won not the Oscar for Best Picture. It won the coveted, the prestigious MTV Movie Award for Best Movie. I mean, that is it. That's when you win MTV Best Movie, even though they don't show videos, then you know you're in great. But this is a movie that's fun. It's smart. It's clever. It's self-aware, deconstructed the genre. Mm-hmm. It's funny. And it is, of course, freaking scary as hell.
It is. I mean, written by Kevin Williamson, inspired by Williamson's love of horror films. And it's really clever horror film in that it uses all the tropes and the typical things that we see time and time again, cliches of a horror film, but makes fun of them at the same time, uses them to terrify you. So it works on both levels. It's a horror comedy, which is actually scary. I've told this story before on Horror Flicks, Cobster's podcast, Cobster and Cody, that after I saw Scream, I threw up because I was so scared. It's happened to me multiple times that I've thrown up after seeing a horror film because I'm that terrified of it.
What is the matter with you,
and
girl?
This movie did the psycho thing of killing off the character that you think is going to be the star really early in the film.
Really early.
This one was during the opening sequence with Drew Barrymore, like we were saying before. I mean, all the posters had Drew's face on it. You thought that she was going to be the star of
this
movie.
Couldn't believe it.
And then she goes, and that shows you that anything's possible. That sets you up for that tone of the movie and how terrifying Ghostface is. New Nightmares was saying was the meta movie, and this came after it. Wes directed all four installments, and this was the highest grossing slasher film in the U.S., unadjusted for inflation.
Wow. Well, it was. It's a fresh movie. I mean, here's a movie that sends up the horror genre, that deconstructs the genre, but it felt original. It felt fresh. And even though it played with all of the cliches that go into a horror movie, like, oh, never say I'll be right back, and all those things that what's his name, Jamie Kennedy, you know, as he's like the film geek of that movie. But it also was so successful that it inspired a slew of copycat movies. None of them were as good as the original Scream, except maybe I Know What You Did Last Summer. Mm-hmm. But The Faculty and the Final Destination movies, all of those came out. It's almost like the Scream movies and the sequels became a subgenre within the genre.
And then the spoof movies as well, like Scary Movie.
Yeah, Scary Movie 5.
I liked Scream 2 as well.
Scream 2 was
Scream
just...
4, not as much, but 2 was good.
The first two movies are equally good. The only thing that really gives the first movie the edge is that it was the first movie. Even Kenneth Turan from the LA Times, the Los Angeles Times, loved Scream, called it a bravura provocative send-up of horror pictures that's also scary and gruesome, yet too swift moving to lapse into morbidity.
And it still lives on with the Scream TV series that's currently playing on MTV. Movie Man 23, aka Luke on Twitter, says, I believe the opening to Scream is some of the best cinema in history. Great tension, very suspenseful. And KO'd, sorry if I say that wrong, says, Scream will always be my favorite. It hit at the right time when I was growing up and opened up a world of horror to me.
Well, then that means number one on our Scream 3 has to be...
Come to Freddy.
A Nightmare. That's A Nightmare on Elm Street, released on November 9th, 1984. Right before my 16th birthday, cost $1.8 million to make. $1.8 million. Box office was $26 million domestic, which was very good for the time. Terrifying movie. Great villain. Eat your heart out, Jason and Mike Myers. Wicked, creepy, sensey, surreal, and the film debut of the one and only Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, that's right. I rewatched this film, I think it was at Halloween last year, and even though it's dated a bit, you know, with the music and everything, it still brought me back to that time when I was so scared of this movie. It's really surreal. It's a high concept for a slasher film, and brought in this new villain who was, to me, much more terrifying than Michael Myers or Jason.
Totally agree.
The fact that you're not safe in your dreams,
which is where you go really to
scary.
Be safe.
And you have no control over either.
And you can't stay awake.
You can't fall asleep.
If you fall asleep, you're dead.
But you also can't stay awake for that long. Like, you try to stay awake for as long as you can, but at some point, you're going to have to go to sleep. You
absolutely.
Know, whether it's in the classroom or in your bed, you're not safe, and that's why it hits right at the heart. And it's one of those movies that talks about the safety of suburbia and then rocks that, and the safety of the being with your family at home, and it rocks that too.
And so it's there really is no escape, because if you can't let yourself fall asleep, what are you going to do? And at some point, you will fall asleep. Variety, in their 1984 review, said that Nightmare on Elm Street, a highly imaginative horror film that provides the requisite shocks to keep fans of the genre happy. And for Variety to say that about a horror movie in the early 80s is pretty high praise indeed.
And it uses a lot of the morality tale, like the stuff that we saw in the 70s and 80s as well, you know, with the sexually promiscuous teenagers that have the gruesome deaths. It's got all that stuff in it. At the same time, it feels fresh and new. And then I remember seeing The Simpsons with Groundskeeper Willie.
Oh, yeah.
Being, coming into the dreams as well. So iconic.
And this was another film that in the early 80s had a strong female character, Heather Langenkamp, who played Nancy Thompson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I forgot to mention Scream, of course, Neve Campbell playing Sydney.
Yep.
So his best movies had strong female characters. And there were other films that are worth mentioning. So, yes, Wes Craven does get a shot of the others. What's on your list?
Well, Last House on the Left in the 1970s, like we were saying, 1972, his first horror film, the exploitation film, very disturbing. Movie.
It's a disturbing movie. It's almost like a grindhouse movie in a way. And so was The Hills Have Eyes, a movie came out in 1977. This was a little more disturbing to me than The Last House on the Left. You know, totally innocent family caught in, you know, the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's totally screwed up. You know, seeing that movie later, even after I had been a little older and gotten into the horror genre quite a bit, it was its own voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was when I started to really, like, get into, okay, so this is what this Wes Craven is all about.
Yeah, and I remember seeing, you know, Wolf Creek just a couple of years ago, and that felt very inspired by The Hills Have Eyes.
Excellent film.
So I think a lot of horror directors would be very inspired by Wes Craven. I've never seen Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing is good. Swamp Thing is cheesy and campy, but it's a lot of fun. Adrienne Barbeau, who back in the early 80s was like the sex symbol of the horror genre. She wasn't really the scream queen, because that was Jamie Lee Curtis, but it was a lot of fun. It was deliberately cheesy, which it was sort of like a knowing wink to what it was trying to send up. But it's a fun, it's almost got
monster
a
movie.
Monster movie. And then, again, a totally out of left field movie for Wes Craven was Music of the Heart from 1999. Meryl Streep in a Wes Craven movie? What? How does that happen?
I also want to give a quick shout out to Parish of Tem, which was an anthology film in 2006.
Great movie.
I really love that movie.
I love that movie.
Great selection of directors, and Wes Craven directed the segment Pierre Lachaise, which is fantastic. And I
was
just
that the one with Elijah
that.
Wood?
No, that was Emily Mortimer, and she's in the cemetery. And then she speaks to the ghost.
Of Oscar Wilde?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That is a great movie, by the way.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, all the vignettes. Like, yeah. Anyway, we're digressing here. So, but that, you know, listen, Wes Craven, this is a short and sweet episode of Profiles, just paying tribute to the horror master. We had to do something to honor this amazing, legendary, innovative, groundbreaking, influential filmmaker. And we'll come back at a later time and just profile him the right way, even though we're doing it the right way now.
Yeah.
But
and I just want to say, like, thank you, Wes Craven, for all the scares.
And thank you, Wes Craven, for following me.
Yeah, his work will live on forever in film.
Absolutely. So make sure you watch all the movies we talked about. And if you've seen them, see them again, because they absolutely are worth seeing, especially in the next 2 months as we gear into Halloween.
And let us know in the comments below what your favorite Wes Craven movies are, ones that we may have mentioned, ones that we went in depth with. What did you love about Wes Craven? What do you think he brought to the horror genre?
Well, stick around, because we have another episode of Profiles coming up really soon. Until next time, bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.